Because we worked really hard on it. We even bleeped some things out that needed to be bleeped because they weren't exactly appropriate for worship. But let me tell you a little bit about what you might have seen. Some of you may have already seen this on YouTube, it's going to be on the website, so go take it out. But if you go to your cell phone and you go to Google and input Olympic sailing Scottish commentary, it'll pop up. It's the first thing you'll see. It was something that happened out of the 2012 Olympics, and it was a sailing thing. It was one of these sailing competitions where there were single boats, single sailboats. It was one person in each boat, and I think these were all women, I'm not sure. So anyway, the Scottish commentator is watching what's going on, and the sailboats are just all over the place. And the commentator, there's a timer, and it starts at 4, and it's working its way down. And the commentator believes that it's working its way down to the end of the race. So the commentator all along is talking about where Belarus is and where Russia is and where all of these countries and the sailboats are just sailing all over the place. And then occasionally the video will switch to people who are spectating. They're on a nice little knoll, and they're watching, and they're in all of their finery. They have on, Australians are all dressed with stuff all over their faces, and the commentator is kind of like, you know, and there's the idiots up there on the thing watching. And then there's another scene where they get a picture of the people who are in the boat for Great Britain, and it's not the sailing boat, but they're doing something. We're not really quite sure what, and he's commentating on that. And the time goes down, and the sailboats are still all over the place. And he's like, you get close to the time is coming down to zero, and there's this imaginary line that's on the video, and they're getting closer and closer, and the Scottish commentator is, who's going to win? Who's going to win the race? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? And an Olympic horn goes off, and they all cross the line, and he goes, nobody crossed the line. It's the start of the race. It's the start of the race. I got it wrong. It was the start of the race. I don't have any more time now. We're going to commercial. You got to see it. It's hilarious. And like I say, if you go watch it on Google, the bleeps aren't there. So it's even more fun, I think. But I saw this as kind of a metaphor for ministry. Really. You know, there are times when it appears as if we're just all over the place. You know, stuff going on, and it all seems, it's all very important, and everybody's out there, and they're kind of messed up, and they're trying not to hit each other, and they're trying to just keep the sail from hitting their head, and, you know, there's all of this activity going on. And then you finally get to the start. The start of the race. The scripture reading this morning was from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, and it's known familiarly as the Great Commission that Jesus gives his disciples. And I remember somebody talking about this particular passage one time when I was in California for the Schuller Institute for Church Leadership, and I don't remember who the person was, but his whole point was this. We have a tendency as church to get people to come in. You know, come on in, come on in, come on in. What Jesus says in the Great Commission, the first thing he says is what? Go. Go. He doesn't say come. He says go. The story of a little girl was returning home from Sunday school, and she expressed some disappointment with the class's reaction after the day's lesson. And I think the lesson was on the Great Commission, because she commented this: we were taught to go into all the world, but we just sat. But we just sat. The better translation, someone says, of this is the better translation of the Greek is actually, therefore, while going in the world. While going in the world. You see, it's action-oriented. It's action-oriented. Go. Going. Not be comfortable. Tom Bandy, who has written a lot about church growth, has said this: friends, here's the secret to church growth. The secret to church growth: get a mission. That's it, he says. Beyond that single thing, you can do whatever tactic works to help you achieve that mission. If traditional worship works, do it. If your location and property does it, maintain it. But if it doesn't, change it. And stop arguing about it. Stop trying to have your property and your mission too. First the mission, always the mission, and your church will grow. Always the mission. Let's see if my PowerPoint slides work. PowerPoint slides. You see, we for a long time now, at least for about 5 years, I think, have had a vision statement, but probably almost nobody knows what it is. Now, I've tried to work it into the benediction. Okay, so whenever we do the benediction, we're doing a little bit of the vision statement, which is this. As followers, say it with me. As followers of Jesus, King of Peace MCC will be a community of radical welcome as we passionately celebrate the unlimited nature and power of God's love. Woo! Isn't that something? That's pretty good, that vision statement. That's who we intend to be. That's who we intend to be. We also have a mission statement. And it is, ready? We are a diverse faith community called to live out the good news of the gospel. In all our actions, we strive for excellence in spiritual growth, personal development, and stewardship so that we can share the blessings of God's love with the world. Woo! You notice some words in there? Actions. Share. Strive. Called. This is what we want to be day by day. This is how we're going to make our vision statement a reality. Now, one of the things that was brought to my attention earlier this year in a meeting of the board of directors. In the meeting of the board of directors, the chair of the stewardship team, the chair of the strategic planning team at the time, Tara Switzer, made a report. And sort of as an afterthought, she threw in something. Some of you, I know, already know this because I've talked about it a little bit, but I want you all to know about it. She said, my husband John and I have been visiting other churches. Not that we don't like King of Peace. We just wanted to see what other churches are doing and what they're up to. Said, in one of the churches that we visited is one of the fastest growing churches in Pinellas County. In fact, they have a goal of planting, I think, 10 churches in the next decade or so. They just moved from where they were to a larger campus so that they could accommodate more people. And she said, one of the things that I realized was there was a difference between what we say and do and what they say and do. One of the things that I think that we have had some pride in over the years that I've been here is that we talk about having 40 plus ministries. You've heard that, I think, 40 plus ministries. And we're very, very proud of that. We're a congregation of about 300 with 40 plus ministries. The congregation that Tira visited is a congregation of many thousand. Thousand. Want to give a guess on how many ministries they have? Four. Four. They focus all of their attention on four things. On four things. That got me thinking. And the metaphor of the sailing race, you know, fits this perfectly. You know, all of those ministries out there trying to figure it out. And you know how difficult it is for somebody to join a ministry? To figure out who's in charge of what? And every month the list changes of who's in charge of what? You know, it's hard to start something new. It's hard to get rid of things that don't work. Because, my God, it's a ministry. And somebody's got to have it. So I was sitting in that board meeting thinking about what Tira said almost as an afterthought. And my mind started working. Yeah, I was still moderating, but my mind was working in another direction. And I got thinking, what are the four ministries? And do our 40-plus teams fit? Notice I'm changing language now. Do our 40-plus teams fit under four ministries? And I thought, you know, the ministries have to be scriptural. And the first thing I thought of was the Great Commission. That's the first thing I thought of. And the first thing I realized is that Jesus said was go. Go. So this week we're talking about the first one. There are four, I believe. They are these. Next slide. Maybe. Mission, discipleship, caring, and worship. You see, our strategic plan for a long time had worship first. And we've gotten really good at that, I think. Really good at that. Mission, on the other hand, if Jesus said go, shouldn't that be in line first? Shouldn't we always have an idea of where it is God wants us to go? One of the things that we'll also be working on over the course of the next 6 months or so is, what is our BHAG? That's a term that is a little weird. You know, it comes out of the work of Jim Collins, who wrote a book called Good to Great, which was meant for the corporate structures. But long ago, I learned pastors needed to look in the business section, you know, to get books, because that's where the leadership stuff was. The church didn't have much 20 years ago, you know, that was worthwhile, and so many of us went to the business section to find the things we needed. And Good to Great was one of those books, and he's expanded it a little bit and changed it some. But one of the things that he has in it is that every corporation that flourishes has a BHAG. What is a BHAG? He says it's a big, hairy, audacious goal. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Now, I've redone it a little bit. Because I think the BHAG needs to be bold, holy, audacious, God-given purpose. Bold, holy, audacious, God-given purpose. That's what we need to discover. Once we figure out what our bold, holy, audacious, God-given purpose is, we will know what our mission is. And it will be bold and holy and audacious and God-given, because we're going to pray about it. We're going to work on it together to figure out what all that means. Now, each of these four things, by the way, has a little bit of an explanation that goes with it. And so the explanation for mission is this. Next slide. to go beyond our walls to proclaim Christ's message of love, acceptance, and healing. That's what mission is about. And so anything that we do right now that comes under that category, that's described like that, is part of the ministry of mission. Okay, we got that? It's part of the ministry of mission. So we have some teams already who are doing some things that are part of our ministry of mission. And those teams are Cuba. Now, many of you don't know, we have a ministry, a mission, a team of people who are excited about what's happening with MCC in Cuba. We've talked about it a little bit. The MCC's ministry in Cuba is expanding. Right now, there's one group for sure that's meeting, and I think there's a couple of other that are in formation. And isn't it amazing that Cuba has opened up for travel just at a time like this? You know? Just this week, the first flight in 50 years, 50 plus years, went to Cuba. I'm going to be on one of those JetBlue flights one of these days. But we help support the churches in Cuba. It only costs $300 a month. But the churches in Cuba are expanding. And so it could be that our work in Cuba might expand too. Cuba. Human outreach team. Oh, yeah. Oh, my Lord. I wrote down some things under human outreach team that the human outreach team does. They serve at Beacon House twice a month, right? You see the little table set up right now? It has toilet paper on it. You know, we make contributions to the St. Pete Free Clinic all the time. Toilet paper. I like the month when we do female sanitary products. I like that one. Because women, we know how expensive those things are, right? And you're talking about women who are poor and may not have the access to those things that we just take for granted, and they need them. Food for Friends is a part of this human outreach team, too. This week, there were a group of people in the kitchen for a couple of days. Jeannie Pointer got all the supplies together, and then there were three or four or five people in the kitchen cooking for Food for Friends, making soup, freezing it, so that anybody that might have a need for food, either within or outside of the congregation, could get nourishment. There's probably other things under the human outreach team too. Those are just a few that I wanted to point out. Pride. Isn't that when we take ourselves to the community? Yes. You know, and talk about our experience of God's love? That's mission. That's mission. Transformative ministry. Reverend Jake. Yeah. Doing such a great job with transformative ministry. That's about telling some people in our community that have felt double, triple, quadruple excluded that God's love is for them too. God's love is for them too. You know, it's not about coming and sitting. One commentator said, every time we set foot outside our church home, we are evangelists and missionaries. And we get timid about that, you know? We get timid about it. You know, oh, not me. Yes, you. You know? Yes, you. When was the last time you talked to anybody about King of Peace? When was the last time you did that? It's probably been a while for most of us. You know? When was the last time you reached out to a friend and invited them to come? That's missionary. You know the people in your life who have a need for the life-changing love of God as we have found it in Jesus Christ. You know who those people are. There's a story told about Mother Teresa, who was just canonized this morning, Rome time. Amen. And it said that she once paid a visit to the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Baltimore. Now, I don't know if she went to the one downtown or if she went to the one that's out in the suburbs. I've had an opportunity to visit both because I lived in Baltimore for a couple of years. In fact, my great-great-great-something-or-other uncle was the bishop of Baltimore during his lifetime. And so his hat, because he was a cardinal, still hangs in the cathedral downtown. My great-great-great-something-or-other uncle on my father's side. I'm the next one to go into ministry in the family. I don't know what that says, but I would hope that my uncle, John Cardinal Gibbons, would be happy. Anyway, she was there, and the place was filled with people who were just eager, you know, to get a glimpse of her. And you know, she was a tiny little thing. She died 19 years ago. She was a tiny little thing. And even then, people were referring to her as a living saint. And I know most of you, I'm sure all of you know what she did. So there was a great procession, a great procession down the aisle of the cathedral. And that means I think they were in the big cathedral out closer to the suburbs because it's much larger. And the procession moved across the narthex of the church and began that stately march. And I can just see everybody in all of their robes and all of their vestments, and it must have been quite a scene. They began to walk down the center aisle, and members of the congregation on either side were standing on tiptoe to catch a glimpse, you know, just a little glimpse of Mother Teresa. Well, about halfway up the aisle, the procession came to a sudden halt. It stopped. And people who were in the procession began to say, "Where is she? Where is she?" They'd lost her. She wasn't where she was supposed to be in the procession, you know? Well, a little while later, the mystery was solved. She simply had not made the turn into the main cathedral with everybody else. Instead, she'd walked right out the front doors and was visiting with those who were standing outside. People who had no ticket to get in. And some of them were homeless. But there they were. And she said, when she was asked, "What are you doing?" "I didn't come to speak. I came to listen." In listening to God, she found her mission in life. And that's what each one of us are asked by Jesus to do, to listen for what our mission is. And I believe as we look for it, it will be bold. It will be holy. It will be audacious, and it will be God-given. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us. And as wonderful as it is to come and be, and we come and be, why? To go. You know? We don't come and be just to come and be and be happy with our sweet selves, you know? As someone said, and sit on our blessed assurances. We come together in order to gain the strength to go. To go. So the very first ministry to focus on is mission. Who are we called to? We know who we're called by. Because it's Jesus who sends us. And every time we get timid about that, we can go, but Jesus also said, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll be with you." So it's not a time to be timid. It's a time to grab a hold and to go, to figure out what it is you in particular are called to. And then to boldly go where maybe no one has gone before. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about how to prepare yourself for that when we talk about discipleship. But today and this week, I want you to think about what your mission is and what your team is all about, the one that you're on here at King of Peace. What's it about? And are we just like sailboats just trying to jockey for a position? Or do we want to hit that start line together and go? Go watch the video. It's just too much fun. Let us pray. God, when we leave this place today, we ask that you challenge us to speak up for what you believe is right, to speak up for what is not easy. We also ask that you challenge us to listen. We thank you when you let us fail, because only then will you raise us up to new levels. Help us to be unafraid to talk about Jesus. Not to impress others, because only God can see often what we do. Help us to do those things which might seem unpopular, because Jesus himself was a rebel. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to avoid the path of least resistance and to look for the opportunities to find purpose and mission in our lives. Help us to chart a course that will allow that mission and that purpose to become real in our lives and in our life together. Help us to find joy in it all, because we know you give us that when we're doing what it is you call us to do. May we be about what your call is in our lives, always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.